Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Judaism rejects the laws of God. How is that? Well, we will see. It's quite an amazing thing indeed. You see, Judaism really blossomed after the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem in 70 AD, because that destroyed the central place of worship, the place where they had the purification baths, the place where they had the sacrifices, the place where they brought the things of God to God. And as Jesus said, there would not be one stone left upon another. The destruction would be so thorough. Well, many of the Christians left before the final invasion and destruction of Jerusalem, and they went over to Pella and then went on up to Ephesus. But the Jews, with the destruction of the temple and being carried off into captivity, and after thousands were killed in the battle between the Romans and the Jews, and finally in 135, Masada, the fortress on top of the cliff, was finally conquered, and that put an end for a long time for the Jews to try and come back and rebuild the temple. And it's been their purpose ever since then, for the time to come when the temple would be rebuilt. And we'll cover that in another prophecy section when we come along, but we're getting close to that time. So what they did, they took Judaism and they created thousands and thousands of laws in what is called the Code of Jewish Law. And it is so thorough in what it does that it virtually occupies every second of your waking and sleeping hours. We have two in-depth publications for it, Scripturalism versus Judaism, which gives a lot of history and a lot of background and will be an eye-opener to you. And also another book, Judaism, Revelation of Moses, or Religion of Men. Now you need those so that you understand Judaism is a religion of men with many, many of their laws that they have, which they have put as a covering or sphere around the laws of God, so much so that you can't worship God in spirit and in truth. So let's start, first of all, here, Deuteronomy 12 and verse 28. This tells us that the whole thing with Judaism is not necessary and is, by the fact that they do it, a rejection of the laws of God. So let's read it right here. Verse 28. Deuteronomy 12, be careful to observe and obey all the words which I, God, command you, so that it may go well with you. God wants all of these things so that you will prosper, that you will do well. When you do that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord your God. Now here's the thing. You cannot substitute anything for the law of God. You cannot make your own writings contrary to the word of God. You cannot borrow from other religions to add to it, because with that you're rejecting God. Not only the word of God, but God. So God gave the warning here, verse 30, Take heed to yourselves that you do not become ensnared by following them, that is, the religion of the people in the land that they were expelling. After they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not ask about their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods, that I may also do likewise? That's quite an interesting thing. So this also intermeshes with Catholicism. Listen carefully to this. Verse 31, you shall not do so to the Lord your God. For every abomination to the Lord which he hates, they have done to their gods. Even their sons and their daughters have they burned in the fire to their gods. Now we find out in the book of Jeremiah, that's exactly what the children of Israel and Judah were doing before the first destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. Notice verse 32. Whatsoever thing I command you, be careful to do it. You shall not add to it, nor take away from it. Now let's see the same thing apply to the New Testament. See, because it's interesting. The Jews, in the main, in traditional Orthodox Judaism, reject the New Testament, reject the words of Jesus Christ, and that's why they have Judaism with thousands and thousands and thousands of laws. Now, I'll read some of them to you so you can see what they have done. But let's just come clear to the end of the Bible, and let's see that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when we understand that Jesus Christ was the Lord God of the Old Testament, who came as a man to live in the flesh, to be the perfect sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, past, present, and future, then when we read these words in Revelation 22, we come up with a very interesting thing. Just like it says in Deuteronomy 12. Let's pick it up here. Revelation 22, verse 12. Behold, Jesus, first person saying, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to each one as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who keep his commandments. Isn't that what it said in Deuteronomy 12? Yes, indeed. Back then, they were to keep them in the letter of the law. Now, with the new covenant through Jesus Christ, we are to keep them in the spirit of the law, motivated by the Holy Spirit of God, which is united with our minds and our spirit. Blessed are those who keep his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. That's New Jerusalem. But excluded are dogs and sorcerers and fornicators and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and devises a lie. They devise lies and love it more than the word of God. Likewise with Catholicism. Verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Spirit is Christ. Let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who thirsts come. And let the one who desires to partake of the water of life freely. For I testify, first person, testimony, warning by Jesus Christ, to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. Now, that is the whole Bible. Old Testament and New Testament. The laws of God were not the laws of Jews. They were for all the 12 tribes of Israel, and the Jews were just one tribe. And we know from the New Testament that the commandments of God are required for those of us who are Christ's. And we've already covered about grace and forgiveness and repentance and baptism. So you can look at the segments that we've done on those recently. Continuing now, that if anyone, man or woman, church or organization, adds to these things, we're not to add anything to the Word of God. Because if when we do, we set ourselves up as greater than God. God shall add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the prophecy of this book, that includes the New Testament, and Judaism rejects the New Testament. Look at where that puts them if they don't eventually repent. Let's read it. God shall take away his part from the book of life and from the holy city and from the things that are written in this book. Amazing thing indeed. Now, let's come back to the book of Acts, chapter 10. Okay, remember Cornelius sent 4 soldiers to get Peter and bring him back to his household and to preach the gospel, and that God answered the prayers of Cornelius, an Italian, who was uncircumcised. Now that is startling to the Jews. They couldn't believe it. Even Peter had to be shown a special vision in order to carry out this mission with Cornelius. Therefore, Cornelius says, I sent for you at once, and you did well to come. So then we are all present before God to hear all the things that have been commanded you by God. See, not the instructions of men. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive. God opened his mind to understand what God was going to do, and that is bring the gospel to the whole world, starting right there with Cornelius. Of a truth I perceive that God is not a respecter of persons, and that in every nation one who fears him and works righteousness is acceptable to him. Now, why is this important to understand? Because there was a law of Judaism that Jews could not keep company or come into the presence of Gentiles. So this is startling. Now let's go back and review a couple of verses before this to see what happened. Because the Gentiles would hold a religious leader in the place of God. And they would bow down and worship that individual. Well, let's see what Peter said to him here. Verse 25. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet, worshiping him. Now, a little sidebar on Catholicism. Peter did not say, behold, I am the first pope of the Catholic Church. Notice what he said. But Peter raised him up, saying, stand up, for I myself am also a man. And as when he was talking with him, he went in and found many gathered together. Now notice verse 28. Because this, he's explaining about a law of Judaism, of which you get the code of Jewish law. You will see there are thousands and thousands and thousands of laws. And he said to them, you know that it is unlawful for a man who is a Jew to associate with or come near to anyone of another race. Now think on that. Total exclusion total prejudice, total hatefulness of Judaism, because there is no law in the Old Testament that says that you shall not come into the presence of Gentiles. Now, especially the Jews thought that this shouldn't be if they weren't circumcised. But notice what Peter said. But God has shown me that no man should be called common or unclean. That is, have nothing to do with them. So then he came. God gave them the Holy Spirit. Shortly after that, started a great problem. Let's see Peter's fallback into Judaism. Let's come to Galatians, the first chapter. Let's see about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was one of the highest-ranking Pharisees, more zealous to carry out the works of the high priest, even getting arrest warrants to capture Christians, men and women, put them in jail, and he even oversaw the death of Stephen, who testified to the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin stoned him to death. Now, if you add to or take away from the gospel, then you're coming to another gospel. That's why we have to follow the words and teachings of Jesus in the New Testament and understand what he is saying and understand what is the grace of God, what is the love of God, what are the commandments of God, what is the truth of God, how we should live according to the word of God, not according to the dictates of men. So he says here in verse 6, I'm astonished that you are so quickly being turned away from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Now, the grace of God is this. Everyone who has the Spirit of God has direct contact to God the Father and Jesus Christ in heaven above. All you have to do is get on your knees and pray, Our Father, just like Jesus gave the sample prayer in Matthew 6. No temple, no priest, no animal sacrifice, no wine offering, no flower offering, no bread offering. You don't have to come to Jerusalem to a temple, but wherever you are on the face of the earth. Now that's a quick review of the grace of God. To a different gospel, which in reality is not another gospel, because if there is only one gospel, you can't have another one. It's that simple. But that's what they have done. Judaism, Catholicism, and Protestantism. But there are some who are troubling you and desiring to pervert the gospel of Christ. Now listen to this carefully. This is really something to understand. And Paul knew this better than anyone else because he was steeped in the traditions of men and steeped in the ways of Judaism before God called him. Verse 8, but if we or even an angel from heaven should preach a gospel to you that is contrary to what we have preached, notice, let him be accursed. Now that's how strong it is. So when people come along and say, well, if you teach keeping the commandments of God and keeping the Sabbath and holy days, you are Judaizing. No, we're not. We're keeping the laws of God, which God wants us to do. Judaizing is keeping the laws of Judaism. That's why you need both of these books. Judaism, a revelation of Moses or a religion of men, and scripturalism versus Judaism, it is absolutely essential that you get both of these books and you read them and study them because we're going to see that in the end times, there are going to be a lot of false prophets who are Jews by genetic line, but they will be preaching a different gospel than what is in the New Testament because they have a hard time separating themselves from all the traditions of Judaism that reject God. Let's go on. Verse 9, as we have said before, I also say again, if anyone is preaching a gospel contrary to that which you received, let him be accursed. So then he says down here, verse 13, for you heard of my former conduct that was in Judaism. My former conduct, when Paul repented, he had to repent of all of it and come back to God and the commandments of God and the truth of God as given in the New Testament through Jesus Christ. Continuing now, how I was excessively persecuting the church of God and was destroying it, and I was advancing in Judaism far beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more abundantly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. That is the traditions of the Jews. But when God called him, and you can read of that in Acts 9, God had to change his mind completely and re-educate him in Arabia before he could even start to carry out his work as an apostle. Now let's see Peter's slip back to Judaism. Now think about this for a minute. God used Peter to come to Cornelius to open the gospel to the Gentiles. And he preached the gospel. They received the Holy Spirit. They were baptized. And he stayed with them many days, living in Cornelius' house with all of the uncircumcised Italians who were servants and attendants and soldiers. Quite an amazing thing. So he was there every day teaching them about Jesus Christ. And when he came back to Jerusalem, the elders in Jerusalem were all upset that he went in and kept company with Gentiles. So Peter had to explain it to them. Acts 11, you can read it. Well, they accepted the fact that the Gentiles received the Spirit of God in repentance. However, they weren't completely weaned away from Judaism. Now then, in the next segment, we will see Peter's slip back into Judaism. And of all people to do that, Peter really knew better. But Peter had a weakness of being political and wanting to please other Jews. And we will see what happened in the next segment and what Peter did. And it was so egregious, and the correction by Paul was so strong that it was preserved in Scripture for us, so that we would always know that the teachings of the New Testament have nothing to do with Judaism. So when we have those who are hostile against the Word of God, namely Catholics, who don't want people keeping the Sabbath or the holy days, they attack us as Judaizing, and they themselves know better because they have their own traditions in place of the Word of God. So this is a real eye-opener. Be sure and write for our two publications, Judaism, a Revelation of Moses or a Religion of Men, and Scripturalism versus Judaism. It will be absolutely amazing for you to get those publications and read them, because this is not taught in any of the Protestant churches the way that it should be. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.